Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your skin, or honestly your nervous system, feels a bit overwhelmed, this is your sign to simplify. I've been reaching for Primally Pure's Blue Tansy products anytime my skin feels reactive, irritated, or just angry. Blue Tansy is naturally this beautiful sky blue oil that helps calm redness, inflammation, and dryness almost immediately, and you feel it working. What I love is that this isn't just skincare. It's a full head-to-toe ritual. From their cult favorite Blue Tansy deodorant to their soothing collection and body oil, everything is designed to work with your body, not against it. Their formulas use real biocompatible ingredients. No fillers, no fragrance, just ingredients your skin actually recognizes and responds to.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day?
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment. I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And D, today our Lakers are back home in LA. It's a beautiful morning here in Los Angeles as we record this. We're going to talk about the Lakers coming back home and kind of this upcoming stretch, starting in the second segment, or at least a little bit later in the pod. But, you know, we had a very passionate discussion yesterday, D, about the awards and the Lakers' place within that, and felt like there was a little bit of meat left on the bone and sort of unfinished things that we wanted to touch on before we moved on. So what's on your mind on that front, D?
You know, you talked a fair amount about the last 15 years, and you brought up some examples. I think, though, one of the things that we sort of eschewed mostly, we did hit on it some, part of the framing of our conversation to begin with is this idea of like the team being good this year and where some of their key people might fall in the awards race this season. I think the most obvious one is Luka and his chase for the MVP. And I think we talked about that some yesterday, but a couple of non-player people were sort of on my mind within the context of this discussion. One is Rob Pelinka, who has built a team that looks very likely to win 50 games at least in back-to-back seasons. And what everyone universally says is one of the best trades for his team ever, the biggest steal of a trade ever, and has since at least this past season strategically let a player walk in free agency that everyone believed should have been brought back. That player has since underperformed for the team that signed him and proved to be an injury risk in a way that the Lakers would have had more information on that than anyone. And based off of reporting at the time, very likely influenced the conversation around that player's contract. I'm specifically referring to Dorian Finney-Smith here. And then took the money that was opened up from letting DFS walk to signing Jake LaRavia to a free agent deal, DeAndre Ayton with the free agent deal, and then because of the cap mechanics, were then able to use their biannual exception to sign Marcus Smart. And so he added three rotation players, Pete, to a team that only lost one, And that team is now on pace to win a bunch of games. And so it's an interesting conversation with Rob, just in terms of his name is never really out there in terms of being given any credit at all, much less being in the awards race. But I just wanted to sort of talk about this a little bit first with him and then JJ after this.
Well, I actually just wanted to jump in with a minor point as well, in that we skipped over this last time and I didn't want to do this again, in that they also let Jordan Goodwin walk to be able to make all of that happen. And so I just don't want to falsely portray everything. They let DFS walk, but Goodwin's a minor point within this. But two starters, a quality rotation player who's been super helpful throughout the season in Jake LaRavia, and then the move at the deadline for Kennard with very little walking out of the door. And then, yeah, with Reddick. And this was part of my argument yesterday, though, D, is that the explanations why the Lakers don't get top three consideration always leads you to a different Laker. Meaning that it's like, okay, well, the Lakers don't have a very good roster, according to everybody, right? Lakers don't have a very good roster. And, well, Luka's MVP? No, he's not top three MVP, not a top three guy. Oh, well, we must have the coach of the year, right? Considering they're good. No, he's not top three either. You know what I'm saying? It's always heads I win, tails you lose, no matter which direction it kind of goes in. That's the main thing that I bristle against, is Alex Caruso is a great example of this. Moment he left the Lakers, he was immediately first team all defense type of guy in everybody's eyes. The Lakers team that in 2021 that was number one in defense all year, a listener pointed this out, thank you for that, they didn't have anybody finish higher than 15th. In all defense teams, like we didn't have anybody make first team or second team all defense that year. And they were awesome on defense the whole regular season. And so just every argument leads you to a different Laker. It's like, well, if that's the point that you're making, well, then it must be the GM did a great job. No. Okay, then the coach? No. Our best player? No. It always leads to the same place.
The point going back to the 2020 and 2021 teams, the 2021 team was destroyed by injuries most of the year. Like AD missed a bunch of time. The fact that that team could finish number one overall in defense and Frank Vogel not get any credit.
That's right.
Didn't get credit the season before when they were the number one seed in the West and a team that ended up winning the championship for a team that was built over the summer in terms of continuity. They had some continuity with guys who came back from the previous season, but they made a team-altering trade to get Anthony Davis and basically rebuilt most of their roster in terms of their rotation. And he's not a guy that gets any credit for that.
In fact, he was almost universally panned in NBA media for giving up too much in the Anthony Davis trade. It was like three draft picks and two pick swaps and Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart. This is way too much for AD, where it's like they built a championship team that year. And yeah, like, isn't the whole point? They went from like missing the playoffs entirely to dominating the regular season and winning the whole thing.
And getting back to Rob for the last 12 to 18 months, I'm glad you pointed out the Goodwin stuff, because this is where I think Lakers fans have very clear eyes about Rob Pelinka. We're not trying to exalt him as this Sam Presti figure that has ran circles around the league and lapped every other organization in terms of their front office prowess. I'm not doing that. But it's very difficult for me to thread the needle on, well, this dude was clearly a part of a trade in which everyone agrees that his team won the trade. And then he helped build up a roster that is going to win 50 games in back-to-back seasons. And all the moves that he made during the offseason and even the in-season move that he made have inarguably helped the team. Despite ups and downs from DeAndre Ayton or the disappearance of Jake LaRavia's jump shot or Marcus Smart being banged up to the degree that he has been, but he still played a bunch of games. It's just like, no, all of these guys have been positive contributors to a Lakers team that has overachieved by almost all accounts. You pointed this out at the top of yesterday's pod that they've already hit their over with 9 games left in the season. They've already cleared their over. An over that is supposed to be artificially inflated by Lakers fans hammering the over.
Jesus.
But not a whisper of, well, no, actually, did this guy do a good job? Is he worthy of consideration for being recognized as someone who we should at least acknowledge as possibly being someone we should just give some credit to? I guess not.
When I brought up Marcus for all defense team yesterday. What did you tell me?
After the pod, we were talking about
this. I was like, do you think that he might make it? And you were like, hell no. Like, and I'm talking like all defense first or second team. And I know by a lot of the advanced stats that are often cited by the very same people that use it against a Laker player when it's convenient. Again, heads I win, tails you lose. Like, Marcus is having as good of a defensive season as he did the year that he won DPOY. But now it's like the idea that he could make first or second team is almost certainly not. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I shrugged it off as like, I don't see that at all. But then you made the case to me that I was just like, maybe he should. But instinctively, I'm just like, no, because the Lakers don't get players that do that. Anyways, this leads me more to Redick then. Because if you don't like the roster and you don't like what Rob Pelinka's done, or you don't think that he actually executed anything, and going into this season, the Lakers were picked to finish anywhere between 8th and 6th, but 6th seemed to be their ceiling in an ultra-competitive West. They were supposed to finish behind the Warriors and behind the Clippers. They were supposed to be battling the Spurs for being a 6th seed, and San Antonio has far exceeded expectations, which should maybe speak to Mitch Johnson being someone who should be in this conversation as well, right? But the amount of scrutiny that JJ has been under this season from people like Kendrick Perkins, for example. Perkins had the nerve to say that Redick looked like he was losing the locker room. This was during one of those conversations where after the game, JJ had basically said, we blew a bunch of ATOs. They're like not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then Perkins took that as an opportunity, if I recall correctly, to basically say, well, if they're not listening to you, JJ, clearly you're like losing the locker room. And then in the next sentence, he says something about, I know the stars believe in him. I know that Luka and LeBron are right there with him. But the role players, you know, he's losing the role players. And I'm like shaking my head. I don't know how you lose the locker room if the stars back you. As a career role player, Kendrick Perkins should understand. But anyways, I feel like JJ's gotten a fair amount of scrutiny. Like, I get he can be a hothead at times. He can leave pressers early or drop the mic. That was more last year than this year. But still, I think he's viewed a certain way. But I say it again, it's the same case we were just talking about with Pelinka. The Lakers team wasn't supposed to have a very good roster. They've got the oldest player in the league. They've dealt with a ton of injuries. Two of their three best players are not awards eligible. And Luka's is only, I think he's going to clear the bar by 3 or 4 games. And there's just been a bunch of guys who have missed 2 or 3 games here, 2 or 3 games there. He's had his full team for about 10 games the entire season. And I get it. It's the NBA that's going to happen. But considering everything that's happened, for them to be this good and have this sort of record and be surging the way that they've surged the last month, doesn't that speak to the quality of the head coach? Let's take a break here, Pete. And when we come back, I'd love to get your thoughts on the Redick piece of this.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've been seeing Blue Tansy everywhere in skincare lately, but I actually discovered it through one of my favorite clean brands, Primally Pure. I didn't believe in natural deodorant until I tried their best-selling Blue Tansy deodorant. This one is actually clean, and it actually works. Lutansi is this really calming antioxidant that helps soothe irritation and inflammation, especially if your skin tends to react easily in areas like underarms. And what I love is that the same ingredient runs through their entire soothing collection, from facial mists when you need a little pick-me-up to their soothing spirulina face mask, packed with raw honey, kaolin clay, and wild-crafted botanicals. I've honestly never experienced anything like it. So if your skin has been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, return to calm with Primally Pure. Their Blue Tansy line is a beautiful place to start.
You've laid out the Reddick point fairly well, so I'm going to be a hater to start this second segment. One of the candidates that I think will finish ahead of Reddick is Jordan Ott. And the Coach of the Year award has always been the, wow, your team was way better than we expected you to be award. That's basically what it's been the entirety of my life, right? And Phoenix is one of those teams that qualifies on that front. Darius, you can confirm this over many texts, and I've even said this on the pod many times and on the playbacks and all of that. The predictions for the Phoenix Suns the last 2 years have been insane. I've said them way at the front of, at the beginning of the season, both times. Your prediction that last year's team was going to be good, some people had them like second or third in the conference. I'm like, you are nuts. They're going to be nowhere close to that. And that's what happened. And then this year, I was like, their over-under was 30.5. If I were a betting man, I would have thrown so much money on the over on that. And Ott is going to be a beneficiary of the fact that none of these fucking people can see Kevin Durant clearly. You see how terrible the vibes are in Houston? Did you see that? We were watching that game the other night between Houston and Minnesota. One of the all-time great, like, regular season OT comebacks. I saw some crazy stat, which, like, the first time somebody came back from a double-digit deficit in overtime.
It's, like, close to 200 times that this has happened in the history of the league or something, Pete. And this game was the only time that a team has done it.
Just the wildest thing. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up as this idea of, like, there are mistakes in other places where it's like, oh, you messing up in your evaluation of what the Suns were and what their roster was and what they could be is not a reflection of Jordan Ott being an amazing coach. And Ott's done a good job, don't get me wrong. But they wised up and we were like, hey, maybe we should get guys who play defense and play hard a lot. We already have Devin Booker on our team. Dylan Brooks, I argued, you know, is an underrated just innings eater, will get shots up and can put up 18 to 20 points and like
culture player too, right?
Helps your culture player. Yes, absolutely. That like, you're not going to be some trash team with Dylan Brooks on your team, just from a cultural standpoint. So if you actually have some talent on the roster around that, it's like, you're going to be a decent squad. And that's what they turned out to be. And so, yeah, that just wanted to point that out on the Coach of the Year. Like Ott is almost certainly going to finish ahead of Reddick and he's done a very good job. Don't get me wrong, but there's never any like self-evaluation of, hey, maybe I got this other thing wrong and it's not, I don't know.
Yes, this one person being able to do something that I didn't think was possible, I'm going to give you credit for that when there's little self-examination about why I didn't think something was possible and whether there was a flaw in my initial reasoning.
Right.
Right. And this is the expectations game that is always tricky. And why the voters are human and their preconceived notions about what something should be and how that impacts their understanding of the game and then how they vote on awards and everything else. Part of this like comes back to the Luka conversation as well. Remember the aftermath of the Men's Health article that was written on Luka, and he's on the cover and he looks super fit. And the summer that he had playing for Slovenia and just like how good he looked playing in Eurobasket. There was a bunch of conversation, I recall, Pete, about like, oh, revenge tour Luka, it's coming. He could win MVP this year. He might even be my preseason favorite to win MVP. The betting markets reflect that SGA and Jokic are always at the top. But Luka, and I'm looking at his season, Pete, where he's first in points, third in assists. He's the best rebounding guard in the league, basically. And had a stretch, particularly in the second half of the season, where he's been a much more impactful defensive player, both from a I'm doing my job and just sort of being steady and have pretty good floor for what he's doing, but also a defensive playmaker who is getting deflections and getting steals and just showing a greater amount of activity, which then helps your transition game, helps LeBron James. Did you see the stat, by the way? Saw a stat today, Pete. 10 or 11% of all of LeBron James' baskets this year are dunks.
Jesus.
And it's his highest number in like over a decade.
Really?
Basically.
That's crazy.
It's an insane number. Do you think that the Lakers being good in transition and Luka looking for LeBron on outlet passes and all of this and sort of lifting up the efficiency of his teammates in dramatic ways, not only from potential assist chances, but everything else, that you don't think that that helps the infrastructure of your team and helps a player like LeBron, who's the oldest player in the league, still thrive as a transition player? Like, I get it that we should give LeBron credit too, but the sort of ethos of the team and how it's built also matters within this, and Luka plays a critical part in that. So I'm wondering what Luka's done this season to throw people off the scent of those preseason prognostications about him being a potential favorite to win this award. And I get it. There are other great players too. I'm not trying to dismiss Shea or dismiss Wemby or even dismiss Jokic, although I would argue that Luka's actually had a better quantitatively season than Jokic, just because Jokic has missed so much time. The Lakers are a better team than the Nuggets. Talk about the preseason expectations game. I know Denver's dealt with injuries too, but again, so have the Lakers. So this entire puzzle that I just have trouble putting it all together at times, Pete, and I think it's mostly because the pieces don't actually fit together to make these arguments congruent and lucid. What they are scattershot arguments where I'm arguing one thing against this thing, then I'm arguing a different thing against this other thing. And if those two arguments don't align, they don't have to, because no one's going to call you on it necessarily.
Sure. And it's funny because all of these awards too are of the year awards, right? Most of them actually have it explicitly in the title, although the MVP does not. And one of the things that I've noticed that is really come to pass over the last decade has been the totality of the arguments being built around advanced metrics, or so-called advanced metrics, and how that is just everything that, and you can pick and choose which ones you like better than others and to suit the scattershot argument that you want to make in the first place. But even more broadly speaking, I don't think that that entirely conveys what it means to be an MVP or what it means to contribute to your team. Like, I think that there are plenty of elements from a leadership standpoint and from a galvanizing the team and from just building toward winning that, for example, I've been super impressed with Wemby this year and just his entire approach to everything. And he's helped take them from where they were last year to where they are now. And that, like, that setting the expectation of excellence, we're going to be great around here, that is part of that. And that's not something that is going to be quantified in any of those stats. But it, how you inspire other people and how you galvanize the team around you is something, and how consistently you do it is something that is not something that is captured in a lot of these statistics. That I think that that is not just some esoteric argument for MVP that, oh, it's just I can argue whatever I feel. I actually think stats are often used to argue whatever it is that you feel, because it has this kind of cloak of objectivity. But it, like, the way that you use stats are, you know, the old lies, damn lies, and statistics. You can use stats very deceptively. And so, for example, if there was a play the other day in the Indiana game where LeBron rolled to the basket really hard, and as a result of that, he sucked in the defense, two help defenders converged on him, got Luke a wide open three, which he cashed that in. I don't know how many plus Raptor points LeBron gets for that. I don't know what positive EPM contribution or any of these stats, you know what I'm saying, that he gets for doing that. And basketball is not a sport that begins in a set spot the way that it does in baseball or in football, where the play starts from a predetermined spot. So the math involved in really quantifying basketball, to me, it's not that stats don't have this amazing utility within basketball. It's that we haven't quantified everything yet. But I know that my observation of saying, hey, LeBron rolled to the basket and it collapsed the defense and got this player open, that's not a subjective argument. That's what that actually happened. There's actually objectivity and observational evidence. So let's take a break here, come back, just keep it going.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your skin, or honestly your nervous system, feels a bit overwhelmed, this is your sign to simplify. I've been reaching for Primally Pure's Blue Tansy products anytime my skin feels reactive, irritated, or just angry. Blue Tansy is naturally this beautiful sky blue oil that helps calm redness, inflammation, and dryness almost immediately, and you feel it working. What I love is that this isn't just skincare. It's a full head-to-toe ritual. From their cult favorite Blue Tansy deodorant to their soothing collection and body oil, everything is designed to work with your body, not against it. Their formulas use real biocompatible ingredients. No fillers, no fragrance, just ingredients your skin actually recognizes and responds to.
The same exact thing happened against Orlando that got Kennard the game winner, not just the sequence that you described with LeBron crashing, but how the play before set up that same exact idea. LeBron slipped that cut, got to the rim. Banchero got the block clean. Did you know it was clean? Pete, last 2 minute report said it was clean. So
the Fed said so. Yeah.
Anyways, LeBron almost getting that layup to fall to tie the game. This is where the basketball gods pay you off too. It's just like, oh, you had a layup to tie the game, but we fouled you. Oh, but you get the ball back. So now we're going to give you a three and then you win the game. Like, should have just taken the foul, buddy. Anyways, that whole sequence, it's just like, it all matters. And the memory of the player who got beat on the cut previously, then feeling the need to overhelp on the next play when it wasn't even his responsibility to help in the first place. There's no quantifying that. There's never going to be a number.
Right. But it's real.
That tells you that Banchero actually felt, oh, I got to go with him right here. I got beat literally on a very similar cut the play before. And nothing is ever going to tell you that. It may be reflective in some overall on-off number, yada, yada, yada. But there's never going to be a this is why it happened idea. And in a flow sport like this, this is where stats will always fall short. And it's one of the reasons why there's almost this constant disparity between people who played against Allen Iverson and how good they thought Allen Iverson was, and the people who sat back and looked at Allen Iverson's stats and ran some numbers and were just like, well, yeah, actually, he wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. And the people who had to go out there and deal with that dude on a possession after possession basis, with him basically playing full speed for 44 minutes a night, game after game after game after game. And when I'm tired, he's not. Mm-hmm. And when I'm reaching, he's just blowing by me. Mm-hmm. And when I jump to challenge his shot, he just like double pumps and then is still able to flick in a shot, and how demoralizing that makes me feel as a person. There's never going to be a statistic that quantifies that feeling of helplessness at times that a player can make you feel. And yeah, his true shooting was not where it should have been, considering how many shots he took. Go tell the defensive player, hey, man, good job tonight. He's going to feel like, wait, what? It's like that story that Jeff Teague told about how, like, Tibbs, they were in China playing against, like, the Warriors, and when Jeff Teague played for Minnesota, and Tibbs was just like, you played the best defense you ever played in your life. And then Teague was just like, because he was guarding Steph Curry, and then Curry had 40 against him, and Teague's just like, thanks.
Did I? Sure. Yeah.
Anyways, I'd like to get off of this topic already. The Lakers are a good team, man. They're just a good basketball team, and they're back on the court tonight playing a bad basketball team. These last 9 games are going to dictate so much for the Lakers in terms of standings that I don't want to get too far sighted. It was a nice diversion for a pot and a half or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the end, the only recognition it feels like this Lakers team feels like it needs is at the end of the game and what the scoreboard says. Mm-hmm. And recently, they've been doing that about as good as any other team in the whole damn league.
This is something that Kobe once said, banners hang forever. And part of the context of that was everybody's going to talk their shit and going to have their opinions on things like on rankings and things like that. But the banner at the end of the year is actually what is earned. It's what lasts and persists over the course of time. And the pursuit of that, and again, I always argue that pursuits of championships are multi-year processes. Like whether the Lakers are able to shock the whole world, including us, and get one this year, or have it be a foundational year toward the next year or the year after that, whatever it is, that next title, I think that they have a lot of ground to cover, but are also really on the right track in a way that I haven't felt since they were actually legitimately competing for championships and winning one. And so I just start with kind of what does the rest of the season look like? I've got several topics that I can't wait to talk about with you over these last 9 games where we're going to zero in on specific episodes. A couple of them are like, how real is the defense? Can the offensive roles continue to click between Austin and LeBron specifically in that they have a kind of a 2A, 2B element to them? We were talking to Jovan on the Great Western Forum the other day, and he was talking about how like some matchups it's going to be LeBron where we need to give Bron the ball and it's Austin who's going to be off of it. And then there are going to be other matchups and other teams where really giving the ball to Austin and having LeBron be the screen setter and just sort of like continuing that process of getting reps in that respect. And so we don't need to delve too deeply into any of them right now, D, but as we get into this last stretch, what's on your mind of okay, we need I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that, et cetera.
One of the things I've been looking forward to for this stretch of games specifically, and I thought that they did this against Indy very well, the end of the game, notwithstanding, but the end of the game didn't even bother me so much. It was the final game of a 6-game roadie, and they had that game won, so I wasn't really worried about it. It's the do what you need to do against bad teams idea. And earlier during the year, Pete, the Lakers won a bunch of games against lower level competition, but I can't tell you how many times I felt like they won the way I wanted them to win or that they played to the level I wanted them to play to. And the thing I will say is this stretch against mostly good teams, I thought the Lakers' mindset was spot on and exactly where it needed to be. And one of the things I want to see, and they did it against Indy again, is against these bad teams, do you come out with the bloodlust to sort of destroy a bad team? Or do you pace yourself? Now, the injury report is not working in the Lakers' favor going into this first game against the Nets. I think Luka's questionable. I think Marcus and Rui are still out, basically. There's a possibility that it's not the whole version of the Lakers. But I think that's actually even more of a reason to say, where's your focus at? Is it where it needs to be? Because I think that there's a barometer of to be good in the playoffs, the mindset needs to be flicked on for the entirety of these final games, that I don't want to see too much oscillation, if that makes sense. And it's something that I'll be looking for. Is it the most important thing? I think the stuff you brought up is probably more important.
No.
But for me, that undercurrent of our heads are in the right place night after night after night, irrespective of who the opponent is, like that's something that matters to me a fair amount.
Well, it matters to their level of success as well. Like they're going to have to be able to sustain throughout the playoffs and not have dips in that respect that they haven't been like that in a minute. You know what I mean? Like they have turned up since the All-Star break in ways that were probably fairly predictable from just an intensity standpoint, especially with LeBron, that for me, it's more, I have less doubt that they are going to bring it on a night-to-night basis in that respect, and more, can they both bring it and their bodies hold up? Can they not get injured? Can they do it for 30, 35 minutes a night on an individual basis and not break down and do that for the next 2.5, 3 months and get all the way through the grind of that? And really, I couldn't ask for a better spot to be in from that respect of, like, stay on the path that you're on, keep doing what you're doing, get better at it, get more precise with and get more reps at it. But I do think that their mindset's in the right place, D. So I think you're exactly right. And I don't think that it is less important than what I brought up. In fact, I think that it is the foundation of everything. And I just have questions on whether or not they can physically hold up throughout that. All right, going to wrap up here. Got the game tonight against Brooklyn back home in LA. And then no game until Monday after that. And that's when we'll join you next, is on Monday. But until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic, got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound to Vlade. 3 seconds left. Van Exel the winner. It's on the way.
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his 8th block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance,
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me?
Unreal.
Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Freddie pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two, one.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable. It's over.
Shot clock now to 5. Bryant.
Yes.
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.